Oh, Lord Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, we are hungry. And I pray that you would feed us. Lord, we are empty, and I pray that you would fill us. Lord, I pray you speak to us through your word tonight, as only you can. Move here as only you can. Lord Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I think, that there's a longing in us to see God move in some miraculous, some powerful way. And God is always moving. God is always at work. But, we are such a people who seek signs and wonders. God, I'm trying to make this decision. And if you would paint the answer in the sky, well, Lord, then I would know it was you, And how many times have I done something like that? God, I believe you're going to speak a word to me right here. I just want God to move. And you know what I found? And please don't hear me criticizing the desire within our hearts to see God move. But my desire to see him move has been stronger than my desire just to walk with him every day. I thought that was going to be like a profound thing, and everybody's going to say, ooh. Yeah, that's pitiful. That's pitiful. So there's an old movie, and like when I say old movie, I'm talking like the 80s. And that movie, Sensei, I'm talking about the 80s, right? Great time. There's a great movie. Steve Martin's in it, all right? And I'm not Roger Ebert. But there's this great movie. It's called Leap of Faith. Has anybody seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Leap of Faith. Wow. A lot of pagans here tonight. Now, in the movie, Steve Martin plays this like faith healer, right? And he's on the bus, and he's a crook, and the movie doesn't try to say that he's not. He is just a crook. And he kind of falls for this woman in the movie, and she has a son who's disabled. And however it happens, there's this closing scene, because Steve Martin puts on a show. Right, as this faith healer, and he pays people to limp down the aisle, and then they run around and they're healed. And there's this scene towards the end of the movie where the lady he falls for, her son with his crutches makes his way to Steve Martin, because Steve Martin is healing all these people. And Steve Martin, he's all gung-ho and energetic, and then that boy gets to him and he just looks at him. Because he knows, Steve Martin knows, that he does not have the power to heal this boy. And Steve Martin just kind of walks away from the boy. But part of the setup is there's a crucifix behind Steve Martin. And the boy makes his way up the steps, up to the crucifix, and he just kind of throws one of his crutches to the side, and he touches it, and he's healed. Right? And it is so powerful, because what Hollywood is even unaware of, is it's the power of God. Steve Martin couldn't do that, right? He didn't have the power to do that. Only God can do that. Now please don't take that full circle and say, it was such an incredible example. That whatever miracles they are from God. Whatever healing happens is from God. So wherever else you're looking for power, wherever else you're looking for healing, you will not find it. And if you look within yourself for those things, which is the gospel of the New Age movement, you will not find it. You won't find it. You can listen to as many Tony Robbins tapes as you want, right? And I love those things, looking in the mirror and say, I am good, right? I am going to have a successful day today. You can do all that stuff all you want, but that power is not within us. And if we look to ourselves, not only do we fail miserably, but we end up hopeless. And so in Acts chapter 3, I'm so glad We're in Acts chapter 3. Because this first part of this scripture to me is so powerful. I want you to listen to this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, I love this. Now, a little context, you know, they're on their way, and you know, they're going by the what gate? The temple gate that's called Beautiful. They're on their way to the temple. They're going to pray. Now, this is a transition in the book of Acts, right? Because while these guys are Christians, they are still Jews. They still go to the temple, right? And this is a transition time. And so they're on their way to the temple to pray. And right there at the temple gate is a man that the Bible says was crippled from birth. Now, we've got to assume some things about this guy. Somehow, he had some good friends somewhere. Because they said, I tell you what we're going to put him. Because you can imagine, of all the places, if you are in need of something, what would be the best day and the best place if you really need something? In today's context, Sunday. Go to church, right? So this guy somehow gets positioned at the temple gate where everybody's on their way to pray and to offer some kind of worship to God. And how can you feel like you've truly, genuinely worshiped God and then just walk by this guy? Right? You can't do it. And so I don't know in what manner that this guy's trying, you know, to receive some kind of benevolence. You know, I don't know if he's got the tin cup. I don't know what the deal is, but Peter and John are walking by. And so they see him. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. So this is what this guy does. This is how he makes a living. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So, you know, right there kind of implies that this guy, he was ashamed that he had to be doing this. He didn't like to do it. He didn't want to do it. But his very survival depended on people having some kind of benevolent heart that would give him something. And you can imagine when Peter says, "Look at us," this guy's thinking he's going to get something, right? Because nobody takes the time to stop and say to somebody who's begging for something and they're not looking at you. I mean, we don't stop and say, "Hey, excuse me, I don't have anything." I mean, it'd be like if you're, you know, there's a guy on the side of the road wanting a ride and you take the time to pull over and roll down your window and say, "Man, I can't help you." Now, how ridiculous would that be? So if we're not going to help, what do? You drive on. Not only do you drive on, you do not look anywhere in the vicinity of that person, right? So no matter what traffic's in front of you, you are looking sideways because you don't even, you know, because they just want to make eye contact. If I make eye contact, they will stop, right? And the few times I've made eye contact, I mean, sometimes there's been you know, I've received some kind of signals for not stopping. So this guy, he's not even looking, right? He's just hoping they give him something. I think we can infer that he's not looking because Peter says to him, "Look at us." And this is so powerful. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, let me stop before we go on. I have lived so much of my spiritual life expecting to get something from God. And here's the problem with that. I mean, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so we know we're going to get good gifts from God, but they're going to be good gifts from God's perspective, not from our perspective. And usually when I'm expecting a good gift from God, I have something in mind, much like when I ask my children, you know, when it's getting close to a birthday, you know, would you like a gift? They don't just want a gift. They know what they want, right? And they're children. You know, you'd be blown away if your five-year-old said, you know, "Mom, Dad, you know what's best for me. So you get me what you think I'll need and will help me in my development or just whatever you think is best." I mean, how many children pray that way? Now, let me tell you. We know, and this may be offensive, we know that children are like that out of a lack of maturity, right? Right? And when she says, we get your drift. The reason my prayers to God can mimic that very scenario with my children is because of a lack of maturity in my life. Spiritual maturity. That there is something I want from God. God, give me that. As if I knew what I really needed, or I totally underestimate what God's going to do with what he gives me. Paul said, I've learned to be what? I've learned to be content. I have not learned to be content. I'm praying for that. You know, somebody said something to me today that just revealed just a discontent in my own heart and my own life. That there are things that I want. Some of them I know that I couldn't even handle those things. If God gave them to me, I couldn't even handle them anyway. Like if God ever gave me the things I want, it's going to be so far down the line of spiritual growth and maturity and development, right? So the guy looks up, and the Bible says he's expecting to get something. And then this is said, chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. You think that was a disappointing line to the guy? I mean, really. I know I've told you this story before, but I'm going to say it again because it fits right here. It's very powerful. I don't know if this story is true. Jeff probably knows. You can ask him later or email him. I don't know. But there's this powerful story that St. Thomas Aquinas is walking with one of the cardinals in the church. And they come across a beggar. And the cardinal pulls out a gold coin and he gives it to the beggar. And he says to St. Thomas Aquinas, isn't it great that no longer do we say silver or gold have we none? Now, I want you to think about this. Because there was a time when the church didn't have any resources, like monetary, as far as just at their beck and call, at their disposal, right? I mean, there was a time when that church functioned solely on the power of God. But then a corrupt time came in the history of the church. And it was about money. And it was about having that treasury, those resources right at your disposal. And it's in just such this time that the cardinal says to St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, no longer can we say silver or gold have we none. And St. Thomas Aquinas says this, yes, but neither can we say in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That power that we can't harness, we don't create, we can't manipulate. I mean, think about if we could manipulate, you know, that kind of healing power, what we think we would do, right? And so Peter says to him, silver or gold I do not have. And that's supposedly, you know, where the cardinal gets the line that he says. Silver or gold have we none, but what I have I give you. This is Peter talking. You know, I don't have any money to give you. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. And the guy must have been thinking something like, then why are you bothering me? Why are you wasting my time? Which is many times what I say to God when I want God to heal a situation in my life, right? God, I want you to bring about resolution. Resolution for me is somebody crawling to me begging for forgiveness. That's resolution to me many times, right? Somebody telling me they're sorry. Somebody telling me that I'm great and I'm profound and I'm wise and they totally misunderstood and they are, you know, that's resolution for me. And Peter says, what you want, I don't have. But here's what I'm going to give you. This is awesome. He says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. How many of us look at a situation? And for me, I either think over the top, what I just told you, what resolution is to me, or I think the bare minimum. God, if you could just do this, that would be great. And he wants to do so much more than that. And what he wants to give is for so much of a better result than what I even have in mind in the beginning. This guy's hoping to get a silver coin, a gold coin, so that he can eat for a day, right? Because he can't work, he can't walk. All he can do is beg. Never does he dream that he could walk. Who could give that to him? And you know what I love about Peter in this instant? Peter doesn't act like that this gift is from him. Peter doesn't say, here's what I'm going to do for you. Peter doesn't say that. What does he say? What does the scripture say that he says? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It's his power. It's his healing. And so we better trust in him and nothing else. We better trust in him and not in ourselves. And this phenomenal thing takes place. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Why would the Bible go to such detail? That his feet became, and then his ankle. You know, I mean, why the detail? Except that there's a healing that has taken place in this guy. And it is a noticeable healing that's happening here. That his feet get strong, his ankles get strong. They're helping him up, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful. And the Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. How many of you have prayed for healing? For somebody else, for yourself? Or let me interact. Now, we've all prayed for healing. Sometimes we've seen that healing in the way that we prayed for it. And sometimes we haven't. I have no answers for you tonight concerning that. Why did this happen and this not happen? I don't know. For from Genesis to Revelation, you know, God is calling us to trust him and to follow him. And trusting him sometimes means doing the thing that I don't want to do, saying the thing I don't want to say, but just having complete trust in him. That he blesses obedience every time. He blesses obedience. And so in this moment of obedience, Peter stops. And immediately we know something happens here from the Lord. And Peter knows what the Lord's intention for this man is. And in that moment, God brings that healing power through the hands of Peter. But it's his healing. Now, the guy's response to the healing, to me, is what is so biblical and so amazing. You remember Paul said, there's only one thing I can boast in. What was it? If I'm going to brag and boast, there's only one thing I can boast in. What is it? The cross. And what Jesus has done. So when this guy gets up, and I think it's evidence of a true healing. This guy gets up, man. He's walking and jumping. The Bible says that he's giving God all the praise for what has just happened, what has just taken place. And it's unmistakable. And I think, you know, when you juxtapose this to the blind man, the guy who'd been blind from birth, you know, there was something that happened to him that people wondered if it even was the same guy. And some accused said, you know, that's not him. Well, here, it's absolutely clear that they knew that's the guy that's been begging by the temple gate, Beautiful, for a long time. We know that that's him. And he's jumping and he's giving all the praise and all the glory to God. And so, you know, what is happening here? I think there's a couple of things. One, our trust has to be in God. It has to be. Because if my trust is in anything else, I'll be let down. If my trust is in anybody else, I'll be let down. And most especially, if that's the proper way to say that, if my trust is in me, I will be let down. And yet things happen that I can't explain, that I don't understand, that I think God would have gotten more glory if he'd have done this or this or this. But I think so many times we are that beggar and we're wanting silver or gold. And what God wants to give us is so much better than that. And what God wants to give us, because this guy gets silver or gold, and what is he able to do with that? He's able to glorify himself. But being able to walk, only God can get the glory for that. Only God could get the glory for that. And so I'm learning to trust God. You know, I can tell you 10 circumstances in my life, and I'm trying to learn to trust God in all 10 of those things. And there's a couple that, you know, are easier maybe than some others. But I'm trying to learn to trust God. And sometimes I know what I, like, sometimes that reconciliation comes when I say, I'm sorry. When I take that step of obedience. When I do that. Sometimes it feels like when I'm obedient and I do that, that it backfires. Have you ever had that happen? When you felt sure, man, the Lord's leading me to reconciliation and I'm going to say something, you know, and they just practically smack you in the face. You say, you know, I was wrong, and they say, yes, you were. But God is always working. And all I can do is be obedient. And he wants me to trust him. To trust him completely. I like to trust hanging on to something. Anybody else? That's how I like to trust God. Now, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to hang on here just for a moment, right? You ever seen a baptism where they, you know, they get a little panicked at the last minute and they grab the glass? I don't know about you, Jeff, but when that happens, I just feel like I got to get that hand under the water, right? They come up and I'm feeling like, all right, give me that. Oh, there we go. All right. Congratulations. You've just been baptized. You know, that is me. That is, God, I'm going to trust you. Last minute, I'm grabbing on to something, right? Hey, whoa, hang on, God, you know? Has anybody ever bungee jumped? I haven't either, so never mind. But when you do something, you know, scary like that, there's this last moment panic or freak out. I've got to learn to trust God. I've got to. Because I know what I want. I want silver or gold. And I hope you understand when I say that. I'm not saying that like I want money. I'm saying that in the sense of relating to this biblical story. That I don't know what I need. Does that sound weird when I say that? That sounds so natural to me. Because I don't know what I need. But like I'm thinking about, somebody could be really offended by that. Well, I know what I need. No, you don't. You don't. I don't know what I need, but you know, it's like the prayer I prayed to begin tonight. Lord, here's what I do know. I'm hungry. Feed me. Lord, I know that I'm empty. Fill me. Because all I can do is trust you. That is it. You know, if you find yourself in a place where there are no options, there's no branch to grab onto, there's no piece of glass up in the baptistry to hold onto, listen, you find yourself in a phenomenal place because there's nothing else I can grab onto. There's nothing else that I can hold. I mean, you got, here I am. And he wants us to trust him and to trust that what he gives us, he's going to use for his glory. And you know, I struggle in preaching because I don't want anybody here tonight to think I've got this all figured out. And if you people will listen to me, yeah, I don't feel that way. Man, I'm telling you, I understand grabbing the glass better than I understand just trusting him. But I know I'm supposed to trust. And I'm telling you, if I told you right now, like the things that I think I need, I don't think anybody would be offended and be like, oh my gosh, I'm never coming back again. I think y'all would be like, those are good and reasonable things. But I'm not God. And ultimately, if I tell you the things I need, while they may sound good, do you know what those things are? You ever have a treehouse? And if the branch is higher than you can reach your jump, which for me is like 5'8", right? I can't reach that high. You nail little steps on the tree so you can get up to the treehouse. The things I want, it's because I don't have a branch. And so God, give me the things I want and they'll make nice little steps that I can hang on to. And he's not going to give me anything that doesn't require me to trust him. Everything he gives is going to require me to trust him with those things. And so some of the things he'll give me, I'm going to be like, huh? What? What am I supposed to do with this? He'll show you. He'll show me. And so the guy at the gate, you think if he goes and tells a story, he says, yeah, I was a little disappointed when they said walk. I was really banking on some silver or gold. You think he said that? Or do you think he said, I never imagined. I thought on that day I would get a few coins. I thought on that day I might get a piece of bread to get me through the day. But I never dreamed that that day God would do what he did. And God got all the glory. I doubt anybody said, you are so awesome because you got up and walked. I mean, I doubt that anybody said that. And I doubt that he tried to say, did you see what I just did? Did you see what I just did? No, the Bible's clear about what he said. Praise be to God. Because he was told to walk in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you tonight. As we pray, we're going to have a time of altar. And I want to just to encourage us. There are times when I just pray flippantly. Does anybody else do that? Like there are certain places in my house where if I pray, I just have this prayer that comes out of my mouth with no thought. Because that's the prayer I always pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the house. Thank you for this or that, you know. But there are times when I'm so desperate in prayer. And I hope you can relate to this. There are times when I'm so desperate in prayer, I don't even know what to pray. Like I'll even start to say, Lord, will you help me? And I think about how I won't even do what he asked me to do. And I feel hypocritical to say, help me, because I don't deserve his help. I'm like, Lord, will you help? Will you show? No. Lord, will you teach? Yeah. He's doing those things. He's doing those things. He's showing me what to do. And I won't even do it. And so there are those times when I'm just curled up in prayer and I don't even know what to pray. But there is something so comforting to me when I pray in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody comes to the altar and, you know, and they're coming specifically for healing over something, what, you know, whether it's physical, you know, regardless of what it is, when they ask me to pray healing, I always pray in the name of Jesus. All my prayers end in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. But that's so routine. I'm going to tell you, man, there are times when I don't have a beginning, middle, or ending of a prayer. I say, Jesus. Jesus. I don't have the heart to ask him to show me anything because I feel like he has been and I won't listen. I don't have the heart to ask him to help me because I feel like he's been helping me, but I won't even appreciate what he's done. And I just, all I can do with any integrity at all is say, Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we love you. And Lord, this healing that we've just read about, I believe so many of us in this room have experienced. When we thought we needed something else and never dreamed that you would give us what you did. And I pray right now, Lord, I pray for you, Lord, to bring those things to our minds, those gifts that you've given us, even if we only had them for a season, and that we'd be thankful for them, and that we would trust you, that we would pray, Jesus, because Lord, you are showing us, you are teaching us, You are helping us. But sometimes we're so caught up in our lives and our moments and what we want that we totally miss how your hand is moving. And I pray tonight at this altar, but I pray because we're hungry, and I pray that you would feed us. And Lord, I pray because we're empty, that you would fill us. And I pray you would move. Give the gifts, Lord, that you want to give, that we need. Help us to embrace those things. And you continue to show us, to teach us, and to help us. I don't want anybody looking around right now, but just for a moment, I want to ask, how many of you tonight say, oh, I am hungry and I need to be fed, or I am empty and I need to be filled? Would you just raise your hand real quick and just put it back down? All right, hands all over the place. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that can only happen in the name of Jesus. That can only happen because of Jesus. He's the only one who can forgive sin. He's the only one that brings us peace with God. And I pray tonight that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just move on you tonight. And that all you can do is cry out to Jesus, believing he's the Son of God, believing he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, knowing that you're a sinner and you're in need of his forgiveness. And I pray people would be saved. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.